Let's open up our Bibles real quick to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this is kind of where we will springboard from for the next several weeks. So, we're continuing our study. Now we've moved from the person of the Holy Spirit. Now we're beginning to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so, this is where we pick it up. Verse 4. We'll just keep reading this over and over. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given, and this is, now this begins to describe these manifestations or these gifts, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. We talked about that. A word that God gives to you that is able to resolve a problem or to take a critical moment in time and suddenly God just gives you something that just brings resolve to a situation. Amazing gift to have. Through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge. And again, a word of knowledge. A word that comes directly from God, speaking to us, giving us information that there is absolutely no way we could have known that information. And it can be used to expose, it can be used to reveal, if you will, you know, a sin, or it can also be used as a word of knowledge in the way of, you know, telling someone about maybe direction that they are moving in. So it's an amazing gift. Through the same Spirit. Another faith, that supernatural faith to do something and to take a step and to move in a direction. To another, gifts of healings. I think that, you know, we went through that, being able to pray for someone and watch them be healed. To another, and this is the last one that we did on the Thursday before last, the workings of miracles, to be able to see supernatural things taking place. A hard gift to possess because it tends to go to the person's head. He begins to think more of himself than he ought to think. So this is a gift that I personally have not, you know, seen in evidence in an extreme manner. I'm not saying that God doesn't do miracles. Man, we talked about that. We allowed a testimony night that night, and we heard many miracles that have been done in many people's lives. So tonight, we want to talk about the next two gifts in line. Gift number 6, which is to another, it says prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, gift number 7. And so that's kind of what we want to talk about tonight, is in this area of prophecy. Prophecy literally means to speak forth the word of God. To speak forth the word of God through the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Speaking forth the word of God. God speaking through you His word. Now, oftentimes when we hear the word prophecy, what immediately starts to come to our mind is that we're going to tell about the future, something about the future. And so many people, and although that is a way of prophecy, or that is a glimpse of prophecy, but oftentimes, more oftentimes than not, prophecy is merely speaking forth the word of God. Now, it can be foretelling the future or forthtelling the present, speaking forth the word. It can be one or the two. Oftentimes, I would say more oftentimes than not, it is simply speaking forth the word. So, this is also described, if you turn your page in your Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and he begins to talk about this a little bit more over in chapter 14 also. Look what it says, and this is after he talks about tongues, which I know many of you are anticipating that night. But here he says in verse 3 of chapter 14, but he who prophesies, this is the importance of prophecy, speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. So when the word of God is being brought forth, it will do one of those three things more oftentimes than not. And amazingly enough, prophecy is something that takes place through the teaching of the word, speaking forth the word of God. And as you sit and as you listen to a Bible study, whether that be on tape, or whether you're sitting in a church service somewhere, or whether you're reading the Word of God for your own personal, you know, devotions, those three things can happen as what we need is revealed. Sometimes we need to be comforted. Sometimes we need to be exhorted. Sometimes, you know, we need to be edified. So in order to understand what the Holy Spirit will do through the gift of prophecy, it's important for us to understand those three words. Edification means to build someone up, to encourage them to trust in the Lord, to trust in His Word. There are times when that building up, when someone is speaking forth the Word, or there's a teaching of the Word, and it just kind of makes you just, you know what? I'm going to just hang on to the promises of God. I'm going to go for it. I'm just hanging on. I feel that someone has built me up in such a way that I know that I'm going to trust the Lord. And so that edification, that building up. Now, oftentimes what we see in the world is something contrary to that. We see the exact opposite, don't we, most of the time? In the world, we're getting tore down all the time. And that is what I see. Even some churches, unfortunately, have begun to do that, even with their own people. But man, when you're teaching the Word and when the gift of prophecy is in full flow and when it's working and operating through you, you'll see that you're building people up. God gives you some word. He gives you some scripture verse that you can use when you see somebody that's torn down by the world, and you just have that ability to just build them up. That's usually one of the operations of the gift of prophecy. The second one that we have is exhortation, and that literally means the Nike motto, just do it. That motivation, let's move, let's go. Whenever you've heard someone that is clearly seen, or if you've seen the gift of prophecy working in the way of exhortation, when you get done listening to them, you want to go out and get after it. You're just motivated to say, well, let's just go. Let's hit the streets. I can't wait to get to Denny's tonight so that I can share with the waitress or whatever, you see. You just feel like, man, I want to go do it now. And sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need that shot in the arm, and prophecy will do that. But then there are times when we need comfort, and that's that gentle encouragement. Man, when you feel beat up, when you feel lonely, when you're feeling depressed, when you're feeling like, you know, your world is falling apart, you don't need somebody to come into you and say, well, come on, just get off the dime and start believing in God's promises. Even though that may be truth, that's not what you want at that time. You want comfort. You want somebody that is going to give you that gentle encouragement that God knows, that God loves you, that God understands what you're going through. I mean, for us men, I would say that this is very, this is often difficult for us men because we're so logical. You know, when our wives come to us, honey, I'm just hurting. Well, doggone it, the Word says that you should just trust in the Lord with all your, see, you're leaning on your own understanding now, aren't you? And we want to, you know, exhort you when you need comfort. And so we need to be sensitive to the working of the Holy Spirit to say, Lord, right now, my wife needs to be comforted. Right now, this guy, this person, this guy at work whose wife just left him. We don't want to go up to him at that point and say, well, you deserve it, man. You've been a jerk for 5 years. You get what you finally deserve. No, that's when you would say, Lord, just give me a word of comfort for that person. And the Word of God will do that as well. And in the early church, we saw that practice, and I think that is something we need in the church today as well. So we see that the examples of prophecy in the Old and New Testament, they're there all over the place. You can see prophecy from cover to cover, from Genesis to Malachi, from Matthew to Revelation. They're all over the place. But some of the biggies that Chuck talks about in the book, you know, Moses was a man that was speaking forth the word. God told him, this is how it's going to be, Moses. I will tell you what to say. You go out and you tell him what I say. Moses would stand there amongst the people. And what did he do? He spoke forth the word of God. But there were times also when God used Moses to speak about future events that would take place. In fact, Moses prophesied that when the children got into the land, that they were going to turn from God, they would be taken away captive. And everything that Moses talked about, exactly that happened. Moses even prophesied about Jesus Christ, who would someday come. So Moses spoke forth the word of God as God spoke to him. He spoke it to the people. And then he also foretold of future events. So we see that both of those elements of prophecy were working in Moses' life. The same thing with King David. I mean, if you read through the Psalms that David wrote, there were times when David was simply speaking forth the word, but then there are times David wrote some beautiful messianic prophecies about Jesus who was to come. Amazing. Amazing pictures. Then we see in the New Testament, there are many different ones that are written about in the New Testament, just, you know, from Jesus, not only speaking forth the word of God, but telling of future events that were about to happen. He foretold his death, his burial, his resurrection. He gave great detail as to how that would happen. We see, you know, Peter speaking forth the word of God. We see Peter ultimately then even giving prophecy. We see that with Paul over and over again throughout the New Testament. We see different elements of people that were using and gifted with the gift of prophecy. So amazing that Timothy, this young guy, who, you know, I believe that God loves to use the youngsters, that God loves to use those that are in the youth. And we are constantly looking for the next generation, because all, you know, my generation, we're getting old, man. You know, we're turning my... I hadn't seen my daughter for 2 weeks, and so Mari and I went up on Tuesday to see her at the Bible college. She goes, "Dad, your hair is gray." And I said, "Honey, it couldn't have happened in just 2 weeks, you know." But, we're getting old, so we want to see these younger children. And so this exhortation, Paul gives it to Timothy. He was kind of doubting, "Well, I'm a young buck, man. Who am I to be telling these older guys what to do?" And Paul tells him, "Don't neglect the gift that was given to you through the laying on of hands and prophecy." People prophesied about Timothy that God was going to use him. They told him about a future event, future events that God was going to use him. Very, very important in ministry. Now, amazingly enough, and I know this may be hard for many of you to believe, but even women were used in this way as well. There are many women that prophesied, and the Bible condones that. They were called prophetesses. There was a prophetess. And so they were allowed to speak that forth in the church. There are many of them that are, you know, given examples throughout the Bible of women that prophesied and that had that gift. In fact, in Joel chapter 2, it says that young men and women will prophesy. That is something that will take place and it should be allowed. I can tell you that, you know, I've seen this take place in many, many different examples of some of the gals in the church that suddenly God gives them a word. They are great encouragers. They're good at comforting and using the word of God to do that. And so I have seen this enacted in many. You know, the only thing that the Bible forbids that a woman do is that is of teaching and being in authority over men. But there's nothing else in the church, and that's, you know, one of the blessings that we have here is we, you know, it's fun to let you gals do all kinds of stuff. Freaks people out. When they come from different denominations and they see ladies doing the offering, "You let women take the offering?" Of course. Oftentimes I'll say, "Well, who takes care of the money in your house anyway?" That's right. We have a joint account. I put it in, my wife takes it out. So, you know, and this is the only one to, you know, really to be a woman that is a pastor over men, in authority over men. That's the only thing that is forbidden. So to me, it's a blessing. What is a real blessing to me also right now is my mom was telling me, "Rob, we need women in the Sunday school class." I mean, you go to most churches and they're begging for the men. And here, we're begging for the women. I love it. I love that. A blessing to me that men have stepped up to the plate. So now, one thing that we need to understand is there are what is known as prophets, and then there's the gift of prophecy. A prophet is something that is different than someone that has the gift of prophecy. A prophet is a God-ordained office by which that man who is deemed a prophet will be one that is on a regular basis speaking forth the word of God. They've risen to the top, if you will. and they have an anointing and an unction about them, that they are the ones that are speaking forth the word of God in a loud and a clear way in a public setting. The gift of prophecy is a gift that is available to every single one of you sitting in this room. And I pray, in fact, we'll pray tonight, that God would give you that gift, because it's a beautiful, beautiful gift. And the church needs it, man. The church needs it. So, in fact, in 1 Corinthians 14, look at this. Pursue love, Paul says, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Especially that God would give you the gift of prophecy. Why? Because the church needs edification and exhortation and comfort. We need that. It's not just for the professionals. It's for all of us. I pray that all of you would say, God, I would love to have the gift of prophecy so that I can operate in that gift. I would love to have that amazing gift work through me. So the question then begins to arise, okay, well, how do you know if you have that gift? Well, first of all, remember that the gift is given when it is needed. The tool is given to us when we have need of that tool. So how do we know when prophecy is being uttered from our own lips? Well, I'll be honest with you. There are sometimes you're not going to know. There are sometimes you just simply won't know that that is happening. You're teaching the word, and you're just teaching the word with your children or in a Sunday school class or in a setting where you're teaching the word, and prophecy will be taking place. You don't even understand. You don't even know that it's happening. But there are other times that it will happen that we will be aware of it. And usually, and this is where I want to share with you, especially in regards to afterglows, okay, that sometimes God may want to give someone in this room a word of prophecy, where you will speak forth a word of God. And so how do you know if that is it or not? Well, usually it's a strong impression or a thought that comes to your mind that just simply won't leave. It's just there. And it keeps this thought, this maybe it's just a sentence that just keeps going over and over and over in your mind. And this sentence just simply won't leave. Now, oftentimes, that sentence is only the beginning. You're not getting the rest of it. Because if he was to give us the whole thing, oftentimes we wouldn't be able, okay, Lord, just give me the whole thing. I'm writing this all down. I'm going to memorize this, and then I'll be able to share it with somebody. No, no, no. Sometimes all God does is he just gives you the sentence, this initial sentence, that he wants you to share that. And sometimes it will be in a public setting like tonight when we have our afterglow. That suddenly you just begin to tell this sentence, and then all of a sudden, that sentence that was impressed upon your mind, suddenly that sentence turns into a paragraph. All God was waiting for you to do is just to open your mouth and to share what he put on your heart, and he'll bring the rest. It's amazing to watch. In fact, there have been times when that has taken place where I'm just sitting there going, Lord, I don't even know where the rest of this is coming from in my mind, but my mouth is moving and my voice is uttering, but this isn't what you only gave me this one sentence. The rest of it is just from the Lord, just flowing through you. You begin to speak forth the word of God. It's a blessing. What's a real blessing is that when you've done that and then someone comes up to you and says, man, you don't know, I needed to hear that so bad. So to hold it back out of fear, oh, but how do I know? What if it's not right? You know, what if I say something, everybody thinks I'm stupid? That really is the worst thing you can do, because God may want to comfort someone. Someone in the room may need exhortation. Someone may need some encouragement. Someone may need to be built up. And so God has chosen you to be the vessel, the vehicle that he's going to use to speak that to someone. It may be you on this room and somebody clear over here needed to hear that. And so when that does happen, I would strongly encourage you, go to that person and say, you know what? I just want you to know I needed that so bad. That was from the Lord. Because man, that for the person that took that risk, if you will, open their mouth and began to speak the sentence, it is a blessing to know, wow, Lord, you used me tonight. It's awesome. That's radical. It wasn't just my own mind. It was from you. So I encourage you, find that person that spoke it and share it with them. Well, as Paul, in chapter 14, he gives us some rules in the exercise of this gift. One of them is, Paul tells us in chapter 14, let everything be done decently and in order. This is very important in the area of the gifts of the Spirit. We are also told to judge it, to determine, was that truly from the Lord, or was that somebody's flesh? Was that somebody's own translation of something that they wanted to just draw some attention to themselves? And finally, the third rule is you need to make room for others. You know, wait your turn. If God puts something on someone's heart and they begin to speak forth the word of God, and right in the middle of their sentence, suddenly you feel that God's telling you something, wait for them to finish. Wait for that person to complete their sentence, because the Holy Spirit, I believe, never interrupts himself, ever. Wait for that person to finish. But then somebody else might beat you to it. That's all right. Hang on. It'll be fine. You're going to get your chance. But I would also strongly encourage, don't monopolize. If suddenly you're the only one talking, then I would say that there could be a little flesh involved in that one. You know. So, three gifts, decently and in order. Then there are ways that we need to, okay, if we're going to judge the prophecy, what do we need to ask ourselves? Well, does it line up with the Word of God? If suddenly in the midst of our afterglow tonight, I said, I believe that tonight we are all supposed to be, thus saith the Lord, tonight we are going to walk up the street and God wants us to rob the bank because the church needs to finish an addition. Would you guys believe that that would be from the Lord? No. Okay. Why? Because the word says, Exodus 20 says, thou shalt not steal. So it goes contrary to the word of God. You see? Now that's a very obvious one. But there are many other ways that people will come and they will say, well, God told me to leave my wife and that there's this gal at work that, oh, she's the one that I should have married. After I slap them a few times, I let them know that is not from the Lord, man. Why? Because it goes contrary to the word of God. God says you're supposed to stay with your wife. You see? Secondly, does it line up with the facts? Does it line up with the facts, not only of the word of God, but facts in general? Thirdly, does it honor Jesus Christ? Does it bring glory and honor to him, or is it honoring a person? If it's not honoring Jesus, then I would say it's probably not prophecy. So, always remember that, you know, we have control over the exercise of this gift. God is a perfect gentleman. He will never make you do something that is weird. You know, I have a prophecy. And you flop down onto the ground and start, you know, wiggling around like a fish. Well, I don't know what happened, man. A prophecy came upon me and I just lost control of myself. And I started drooling and that's demonic possession. But Holy Spirit possession, he will never, ever, he's a gentleman, he never makes us do anything that we don't want to do, ever. Nothing contrary to what we see in the Word. So that is the gift of prophecy, speaking forth the Word of God, forth telling and foretelling his Word. And I pray that each one of you would, probably many of you have already been enjoying that gift and you just didn't even know what it was. But if you feel that you haven't, I would encourage you to continue to just pray for it. Well, real quick, the next one that we have that we spoke about is discerning of spirits. Now, if you are a Christian, the moment that you got saved, you were taken in the realm of the spirit from this physical world, and we were made aware that there is another world that exists all around us, the world of the spirit. There are things that now you see and that you sense. Suddenly you understand there's a divine design of things that are happening. Suddenly what we used to think was coincidence, now we see is the hand of God working pieces of a puzzle all together. We see suddenly that as you've read something in the Word, somebody comes up to you later on in the day and asks you a question about exactly what you did in your devotions that morning. You go, wow. And you realize there's something more going on in this unseen world, in the spirit realm that we live in. And so we are now living in this physical world, but there is the world of the spirit that lives all around us. In the book of Kings, we see that that takes place. As Elijah was completely surrounded by the Assyrian army. And his partner was saying, look at this, man. You see all the lights? We're totally surrounded. And he says, that ain't nothing. He says, Lord, open my servant's eyes that he can see what's really going on. And suddenly the man's eyes are opened. And he sees the realm of the spirit, and he sees a host of angelic forces all around, surrounding this Assyrian army. There are times that I'm sure that you've been able to know that God protected you from harm, and you know it. Because there's no way. The car didn't move. The car didn't start. You know, it was this near miss thing that took place. The realm of the spirit, you can almost sense that there were angelic wings. There were the wings of the spirit protecting you. And you know it. That's the world of the spirit that we coexist with. I wish we could see it more clearly, but until we get to heaven, we're not going to, you know, we won't be able to see that. So, there are, in this spirit world, there are principalities and powers and rulers, both of darkness, spiritual hosts of wickedness, but also in the realm of God's kingdom. So we are also very aware of the evil presence that exists around us in the realm of the spirit. How many of you have ever sensed that? I can tell you right now, one time, this was many years ago, my brother had a church in St. George, Utah. And as we were approaching Las Vegas, I felt the presence of evil like I've never felt before. I shared with you guys when I was in the hospital on that one night when I felt like Satan was trying to put, you know, the presence of evil was putting his foot on my neck, trying to just, you know, to wipe me out. But I felt at the same time the presence of God saying, no, you're not. So there are those times that we feel the presence of evil, but then there are times when we feel the presence of God, the presence of His Spirit, and the joy of the Lord is all around us. How do you know? Well, that is the gift of discerning of spirits. We can discern between these differences because we know that Satan has the ability to transform himself into an angel of light. He has the ability to fake us out. So how do we know then, okay, well, Lord, was that you or was that the enemy? This is a gift that we need to pray for on a continual basis, the discerning of spirits, to be able to discern, is it God or is it the enemy? Sometimes it's simply plainly obvious. You feel weird. You feel this oppressive, dark heaviness. That's easy to figure out. You're at my house. Just want to make sure you guys are still awake, okay? There are times you feel, you just know that that's the enemy. Ooh. That feels wicked. But then there are those times when something happens, just, you know, you just get goosebumps all over the place. You just sense the presence of God. And so, how do we know? Well, through this amazing gift of discerning of spirits, when you can sense the power of darkness, there's this unease, there's a lack of peace, there's this lack of rest, it's a feeling something's not right. Now, I want us to be careful. Chuck makes it very clear that this is not the gift of suspicion. We're walking around all the time saying, you know what? That dude looks weird. So, I believe he's from the evil one. I've met weird-looking people all over the place that are under the presence of God. You cannot always be suspicious of everybody that looks weird, or you wouldn't want to come to Calvary Chapel for crying. See? But discerning of spirits, you know, there are times you can just get frustrated. I'll give you a classic example, and I hope I don't step on too many toes, but I can tell you this. All of a sudden, I hear David T. Moore on the radio, and there was something about the guy. I'm just going, there's something not right here. And yet I'm watching people all over the place buying his tapes, just going crazy. And then I heard one of the messages that he did, and he did it on 12-step programs and in full support and all of that kind of stuff, and I'm listening to him going, so, you know, sat down, wrote a letter. I confirmed it with other guys. I wrote a letter to Pastor Chuck saying, "What? I don't know what it is, but there's something wrong here." And I don't know if many of you heard, David T. Moore fell really, really hard over there in Palm Springs. The ministry exploded into a million pieces over there. Lots of people hurt and wounded scattered all over the valley over there. Palm Springs is just ministering to the wounded all over the place. You know, Chuck Woolley's over there just ministering to the many, many wounded that were just devastated by this sinful thing that he got involved in. And I mean, it had gone on for years. And so there are sometimes when you have this gift and you're going, it doesn't feel right. But you watch everybody else just going for, oh, we love this. And they will follow these kind of men. And it just makes you wonder. Some of them, it's just flat out obvious. I mean, we were over in Israel a few years ago when Paul Crouch and Benny Hinn got into this big honking fight in front of everybody, yelling at each other and using bad language. I go, how can people follow those guys? They're obvious, but yet they do. And that can be frustrating for us sometimes, you know, when you're saying, but there's something wrong. There's a piece missing here. That's the discerning of spirits. I'll be honest with you. My wife, she has that ability to pick out a child molester a mile away. She's done it over and over again where suddenly now she'll say, you know what, Rob, I want you to be careful with that person. Okay, I listen. And there have been times where it's turned out all of a sudden we read where this guy's been arrested and all. It's an uncanny thing. You know, there's an uneasiness. That's God saying, I'm allowing you to discern the spirit here. This spirit is not from me. And he's allowing us to get a glimpse into the realm of the spirit world. Chances are, many of you women have it, and you call it intuition, women's intuition. No. There may be a portion of that you know that something's wrong. You know when there's a kid that you don't want your kid hanging around with. And you just watch, I'm not sure what it is, son, but I just don't want you to play with that kid. And then you find out later, you know, why. And so this is an amazing gift that we truly do need. Because we need this gift so that we can know whether a man is speaking to us for God or of his own flesh or if he's, you know, if it's Satan speaking. I mean, we need to know that even for our own self. And we see that Peter was able to use this gift. And we see it over in, I'm just going to give you a few things to read. We don't have time, but in Acts 8. Peter was able to discern the spirit of Simon the sorcerer, nailed him right between the eyes. Acts 13, Paul was able to discern, you know, that Elymas Bar-Jesus had a wrong spirit. He discerned that he was hiding the truth, hindering the truth of the word of God. And so we know that false prophets, now this is also very amazing. This is where you'll need to exercise this gift and pray for it. Because false prophets, we need to know, are they a false prophet or not? Because sometimes what they say is truth initially. And then all of a sudden there's just a little salting of a lie. And suddenly you go, huh, where did that come from? Everything sounded good up until this point. Something in you just goes, what did I just hear? And that's when the Spirit of God is saying, there you go. There's that check in your spirit that we need. That is that discerning of spirit, because man, they can take partial truth mixed with lies, or lies that are wrapped with the truth and you don't even know. I'll give you a couple of examples. How do you know? Well, have you guys had those guys with the white shirts and the little black ties come to your front door and say, no thank you, I'm a Christian? So are we. So am I. Well, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So do we, they'll tell you. They'll agree with you, and then pretty soon you're sitting there going, well, gee, these guys aren't so bad after all. Or have you had those other guys that come up to you and say, here, we have a little Watchtower magazine that we would like to give to you. Oh, no, that's okay. I don't read that stuff. I'm a Christian. So am I. So are we. Well, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. So do I. So they have enough of this truth, but when it comes right down to it, what you need to begin to ask, where we get to the bottom line, is that their truth begins to wane away, is when you say, okay, well, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the brother of Lucifer? You ask them some pointed questions. Well, now, yes, but let me explain to you. Wrong answer. When you ask the Jehovah's Witness, do you believe that Jesus is a created being? Do you believe that he was Michael the Archangel? What I want to know is, what Jesus are you talking about? When you start to get down to those kind of things, that's when you begin to see. But I'm telling you, those guys are obvious. We see them riding their 10 speeds. But when it's other people that you're talking to at the workplace, and you're just sitting there talking away to them, and they say, well, but you know what? And you're listening to them, they're talking about being a Christian, being very spiritually minded, and then all of a sudden you hear that phrase, well, but you know, I'm a good person. I believe that all roads lead to God. You say, there we go. Mari and I were down at San Alejo all last week, and we were right down the street from Swami's. You guys know what that is? Self-realization fellowship, where you become one and get to know yourself. Listen, they're very spiritual-minded people there. They are in touch with the things of, quote, the spirit realm. But what spirit realm? Well, I'll be honest with you. When I look in me, I don't like what I see. I would rather not meditate on myself. You know what I'm saying? I would rather meditate on the Lord. So this is something that is very, very important gift that we need to pray for, because our wisdom is limited. God will protect us from being deceived. And then we can detect and reject the false prophets. I think I may have shared this with you guys. I don't know if I did or not. That one time, Maury and I, we were driving to Arizona, and there was a guy sitting on a fence a ways. We pulled up. We pulled up to go to the bathroom at this gas station, and it's all dark. And she's going, I don't have a good feeling about this. What's the big deal? Let me just go see if the door's locked. Spiritual leader. And she goes, I don't have a good feeling about this. What's the big deal? We pull up, and she looks past me, and there's a guy sitting on a fence kind of facing us. And she's going, I don't feel good about this, Rob. I said, honey, it'll just take a second. I'll check the door. No, don't get out. Don't even get out of the car. There's something wrong with this situation. Okay. So I start to back up the car, and the dude starts running at us, reaching his hand into his jacket, running, literally chasing after us. Let me tell you, I've learned to listen to my wife, man. That's the discerning of spirits. There was something wrong here. There's something that's not right. And it wasn't necessarily in the world of the physical. There was something spiritual that God was saying, protect your stupid husband right now, please. You see? This is a gift that we should pray for. We need this more and more, because Satan is becoming more and more deceiving. He's getting better at his tricks. Same old tricks, just better at packaging them in a different way. We look at right now, you look at Tom Cruise and John Travolta and all these guys. They seem like very spiritually minded men, but they're following my nemesis, L. Ron Hubbard and Dianetics. These guys are sold out onto that whole thing. Amazing. How do you know? Another way that you can tell if someone is a false prophet is when you get letters like this. God's Holy Spirit said someone connected with this address needs this help. It's very important. So you open these up and you say, God's Holy Spirit is on this holy letter. Please read this urgent word in the Spirit that came to me concerning you or someone connected with this address. Roth. This is so very important that I had to rush this letter to you before I left to go to enter into this secret place of prayer for you. I see something leaving heaven, heading towards you, or someone connected with this address. Don't miss a word of this letter of faith. Read it slowly. Then it goes on to tell that if I will take this amazing piece, and if I will put this underneath my pillow and sleep, then it came with this special instruction sheet for this very holy piece of cloth. These prophetic words, is a prophecy, is a frequent theme in the Bible. It is a solid stone in the foundation of our faith. As you read this prophetic word, your faith can be stimulated and strengthened. Your spirit can be infused in a divine manner. And it goes on to talk about all these amazing things. And then it tells me right here on these explicit instructions, please sleep on these for 5 nights. But we must have your answer to our letter of faith back from you before sunset tomorrow. God will help you. You will see. Now let me ask you guys a question. Do you believe that that is a prophet of God? Or do we say, based upon the discernment, are these going to be prophecies that are from God? I don't think so. Because I'm still here, I didn't answer the letter by sunset, and I'm still here, and I never put that underneath my pillow. So we can discern. Come on. But you know what? There are probably many, many people that sent this guy their money, sadly. Why? No discerning of spirits. This guy's a false prophet. It's false prophecy. So you see, we need to pray, Lord, I don't want to get duped. I don't want to get faked out. And I'll be honest with you guys. I have been faked out. I have been duped. There have been times when I have bought into something that I had no idea. I got hornswoggled. And then there are times when I go, Lord, I'm supposed to have discerning of spirits. What happened to me? Well, Rob, you got duped, didn't you? And so it doesn't mean that we're going to have it every time. But boy, I tell you, sometimes we need to pray. When something happens, wow, this is awesome. Lord, I want to know, is this from you or not? Sometimes we don't want to pray that prayer because we like what we see, you see. So let's pray, gang. Lord, we thank you for this time in your word. We thank you, Lord, that you love us so very, very much, that you do send forth people with the gift of prophecy, and even prophets, even in these latter days, that are going to speak forth your word. Truly anointed, truly empowered by you. And Lord, we do. We need the gift of prophecy. We need to be able to build each other up and to comfort each other and to exhort each other. And so, Lord, we need that gift. But we also, Lord, we need to have discerning of spirits. We need to know those men, those people, that are they really from you or not? We need, Lord, that gift so that we know how to raise and to train our children and how to operate in the body. And so we ask you, Lord, to give us great wisdom, to give us your gifts of your spirit. Lord, if we're going to do the work in the realm of the spirit, we don't want to do it with fleshly tools. We want to do it with the tools of the spirit. And so tonight, Lord, may you stir our hearts and reveal to us, Lord, those things that we might need from you. Thank you, Lord.